growing tremendously, really beautiful, Baruch Hashem, and the tzibur is also growing. There's nothing more. Like this.
Get the boxes.
What a beautiful Makom Taya, Baruch Hashem. Unbelievable. See, this medrash is packed, full.
Try to follow your footsteps.
Huh?
Try to follow your footsteps.
Yeah, should also be a Shemadish Taya, Baruch Hashem. It's tremendous. Seeing all the families growing. The youngsters until the retirees with special programs for everybody. Unbelievable. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yerech Yamecha, Mamlachtcha, should Hashem be able to steal out a nechas from your kids, and a kiddush should see nechas from you, and continue growing together, Gvaldik, being a beacon of light for the whole Eretz Yisrael. Okay, the Yerech sent to the head, something that could keep the page, yeah. Okay, this is good. I'll just send it to him. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, this year I'd like to talk a little bit about one of our good friends, the Yetzer Hara. He's not everyone sees him like that, but I'd like to introduce you to him in another light and start off with something I heard from a friend of Yosef Weiss, that the Rishoner Rebbe said, that the Yetzer Hara is called by the Pasuk, Melech Zoken Uksil, a king that's old and foolish. A king, he certainly is able to rule over his subjects. Zoken, he's as old as anyone else around here. From the beginning of youth until the last day. But Uksil, what makes him foolish? So the Rishoner Rebbe said, I only found out the answer to that when I was sitting in prison. He was imprisoned by the Russian authorities and put in this dungeon. And he said, there he was, sitting right next to me. I said to me, I have to be here against my will because the authorities put me here. But you, why did you come over here? Now I understand why they call you a Ksil. In any case, where does he come in to the Purim story? Obviously, we're talking about Purim now. So, I'm going to start out with a pasuk in Kiseitse, in Parsha Zohar. Zohar says, She'otelcha Amalek, Baderech Batesem Mimitzrayim. Remember what Amalek did to you when you left Egypt. Asher korcha baderech, Vayezaneh b'cho, Kol ha'necheshalom acharecho. Vayezaneh b'cho, what it means is that Amalek came and attacked Klal Yisrael. He attacked the vanguard, he came from behind. Vayezaneh comes from the word zanav. Zanav means teal. And it's saying that Amalek sort of took the teal from Klal Yisrael. It's a strange expression that we don't find often. We cannot don't find such an expression. Vayzanev, to take the teal. Why is this expression used over here to describe the way that Amalek attacked Klal Yisrael when he came to fight against them when they're leaving Mitzrayim? Vayzanev. I want to expand on this point of Vayzanev and the teal that we're discussing over here that Amalek is picking on. So, to start off, the first introduction is that we have to know, Chazal tell us, Homon min ha-Torah minayin, right, in Chulin Kuf Lamites, Homon min ha-Torah minayin, Hamina Eitz Hazeh, right, it says in the Pasuk in Bereishis, Kodesh Baruch Hu reprimanded Adam HaRishon, did you take from that tree I told you not to eat from? And Hamin HaEitz, the word Hamin can be read Haman, Haman HaEitz, associating Haman with Eitz. Rashi explains that the tree that Haman is associated with, the Eitz that he's associated with, is that 50 amot tree that he was hanged on. But the Pasuk itself, that says Hamin HaEitz, is discussing how the Nachash seduced and convinced Adam and Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and that's the Hamina Eitz. The Eitz that's under discussion there is Eitz Hadas. So over here we see a reference to Haman back by the snake that was convincing Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Why is that snake connected to Haman? So that's quite obvious, because Chazal definitely associate Haman with a snake. There's another medrash that talks about a pasuk in Amos, Kasha Yonis Ish Mipnei Ha'ari Upago Hodoi V'samach Yod Elokeinu Neshecho Nachash, a person that's running away from one animal, and then he meets another vicious animal, then a third one, the Nachash, and then when the last one is when the snake bites him. Chazal Darshan, what each of those stages are, which punishment to Klal Yisrael. The snake is Zeh Haman, Shehoya Noishef Ama Kanachash. He was trying to bite, to consume Klal Yisrael like a Nachash. Haman's compared to a Nachash because he's compared to that Nachash of Gan Eden, actually. He's the grandson of Amalek, and Amalek are the ones that stand for the resistance against Hashem's kingdom, which is what the Yetzirah's job is. That's what the Nachash was doing in Gan Eden, telling Adam and Chava that Yisim Kelokim, you could be like God, you don't have to listen to God, he said not to eat from it, don't trust him. So that's what the Nachash stands for, that's what Amalek stands for. The Mefarshim, the Achrenim say that when it says in the Pasuk, Mishayresh Nachash Yotzo Tzefa Nishayom, Mishayresh Nachash, from the root, from the stock of a Nachash, of a snake, came out a Tzefa, which is a more poisonous snake. So the Tzefa is Begematria Amalek, 240, like Amalek. The Nachash is the Shoresh Nachash, the Nachash HaKadmaini. Out of him came Amalek. So Amalek and Haman are relatives, so to speak, of the Nachash. They're the Shaliach of the Yetzirah in this world to deter people from serving Hashem. Okay, so that's the first introduction. Now, we find that this will explain a number of interesting incidents in the Megillah, relating to Haman. We find a very fascinating story that Rashi hints to, or Rashi alludes to in Megillah, and the Medrash speaks out. Rashi's source is a Medrash. The Gemara says that Zeba v'Prusbuli v'Zeba v'Prusbuti, when it says that Mordechai lo yichav lo yishtach, he didn't bow down to Haman, says the Gemara that Mordechai was coming as a osher. Prosbuli means he was coming as a wealthy person, whereas Haman was coming as a pauper. What's that mean? Haman was the wealthiest person at the time. But at this, when Mordechai didn't bow down, he showed Haman, I'm the wealthy man, you're the pauper. That's what it says. It's very cryptic. Rashi explains, it's based on a medrash. Says Rashi, says that, Shemachar Haman is atzmo l'Mordechai, koydum l'chein, Yomim Rabim. Many days, many moons before this story, when Haman rose to power, he sold himself to Mordechai, and it was b'kikrei lechem, for loaves of bread, or kikar lechem, for a loaf of bread, he sold himself to Mordechai. The Targum Yonasan mentions this very briefly. It says that when Haman would pass and everyone would bow down, Mordechai did not bow down. What did he do instead? Instead, he said, you sold yourself to me for loaves of bread, for a loaf of bread, and now I'm going to bow down to you. And it says further that he wasn't afraid of Haman, and he stuck out his right foot to Haman when Haman came by. Why did he stick out his right foot? Because on his right foot, he wore a sandal on which Haman had written a document of sale saying that he sold himself to Mordechai for a loaf of bread. The Midrash that speaks this out more at length is in Agodas Esther. There's a number of different Midrashim on Megillas Esther. This one's called Agodas Esther. And it says that when Bnei Yisrael were building the Beis HaMikdash, even before the Beis HaMikdash, they're building the walls of Yerushalayim, the Sora Yehud of Yerushalayim, the Sonim, the enemies, didn't want them to continue. The ones that are living there were afraid the Jews are going to come back and that they're going to take over the land, something very familiar. And they said, you're doing this without permission, we're going to tell the king. And the Jews said, we're doing this with permission, and we're going to bring the king to prove it. We're going to bring a script from the king to prove it. So the Jews decided to send a emissary, a consul, and Goyim sent a consul. The consul of the Jews was Mordechai HaTzadik. He was living in Yerushalayim at the time. Like it says, he was Golem Yerushalayim. And the consul of the Goyim was Haman. And they went traveling together on the same train, the same, what a caravan, whatever it was. And they took enough food for the way. It was a long way to go to the king of Persia in order to stand before him in the palace. Well, Haman, it says, ate all his food, gobbled it up, and Mordechai took his time. He took a little bit at a time. Like it says in the Pasuk, Tzadik Oichel Asayva Nafsho Vetan Visham Tefsar. So, Haman ate up all his food, and meanwhile, they're traveling in the caravan, there's nothing around to eat. He says, I have to have something. Mordechai, please give me something. I have rachmanis, don't you see? Your fellow travel mate is dying, you're gonna just let me die? And Mordechai said, yes, I'm going to die. And Haman kept begging, and Mordechai finally said, okay, I will give you one loaf of bread, and this will have to last you for the rest of the road, except I want you to sell yourself to me as a slave for this loaf of bread. Will you agree to that? Haman said, anything. And it's also a familiar story, something that the grandparents went through at one point. And Haman wrote down on Mordechai's sandal, it says he wrote down, Ani Haman HaGogi Avdo Shel Mordechai HaYehudi Shenimkarati Lo V'Kikar Lechem Achas. I sold myself to him for a loaf of bread. And that's what Mordechai made him write on his sandal. And that's what Mordechai stuck out in front of Haman when Haman came by. He didn't stick out his foot to trip him. He stuck out his foot to show the sandal. And that was why Haman got extremely, extremely upset with Mordechai and said, I have to put an end to this. So it's interesting, very, very interesting. This is the way that Mordechai wanted to show that Haman was a slave. He's going to write a shtar in his sandal. Okay, probably he didn't have parchment or anything handy at the time, but I think there's more to it than that. Now that we know that Haman was the shliach of the Nochash HaKadmoni, the Nochash of Gan Eden, he's the one that's doing the job of the Nochash. Well, we know what we're supposed to do to the Nochash when the Nochash comes to us. It says the Nochash comes and it says, who Yishuv Choroish, he's going to try to bite you. You're supposed to stamp on him, right? Tread upon him, I say. You're supposed to stamp on him with your foot. Okay, so that is what Mordechai was doing. He says, I'm going to stamp on the Nochash with my shoe. So that was the story of the sandal of Mordechai. And the truth is, we find another Gemara that says the same point, that when he was climbing up to the horse that Haman was forced to lead him through the streets of Shushan with, Mordechai said, I can't get up there, it's too high. Haman, you gotta bend down and let me stand on your back in order to climb up. And Haman said, okay, that's what I gotta do. And Mordechai gave a good kick as he was going up. And Haman said, Ah, chutzpah, that's the way you treat your enemies. I thought it says, Ben follow Yivcha al tismach. That's what you Jews are doing. So Mordechai said, yes, that's by other enemies. But by you it says, Atal v'mosemo tidroich. We're going to step upon you. And that might be because Haman was connected to he was doing the job of the Nachash. And the way that you show that we disregard the Nachash, that we conquer the Nachash, is by stepping upon him. So to go on, we have to have a deeper understanding of what this means, that the way to conquer the Nachash is by stepping on him. And the way that the Nachash comes is, I found something marvelous, a beautiful insight to this pasuk that I think really lights up the entire sugya, that gives us a deep insight into what exactly is happening with the Nachash. In Ruchaim Vital writes, he's writing this, he's referring to Paro at the time, who also is compared to a Nachash, but he says about the pasuk, he says, I'll tell you what the story is there. He says, the Nachash originally was a tail, and the man was a head. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean the snake was just a tail, it doesn't mean that the man was just a head. They're full creations, they're full creatures, but the snake was really in the category of tail, and man was in the category of head, and when man sinned, he reversed the tables, and he became the tail, and the nachash became the head. And that's why it says, Hu yeshivcha rosh. He's going to use his rosh now in order to attack the man, in order to harm the man. And you will fight back with Okev, because he made you into a zonav. I think I understand this as follows. What is exactly a zonav? What's a rosh, right? When we say shenia l'rosh v'lo l'zonav and Rosh Hashanah, what exactly is a rosh and what's a zonav? So over here, the Maral Derech Agav talks about a zonav by the Midrashim that discuss Vashti. Vashti had a tail. Unlike every Ganenet will tell you, no, she did not have a horn. She had a tail, according to the Gemara, according to the Medrash. And why was it that Vashti drew a tail, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a zonav? So the Maral describes what a zonav is. What is a tail? He says, it's something like a tosefis, an addition, an addendum, like an appendix. It's something that every animal drags this tail after it, and it doesn't really do anything along with the rest of the animal. It's not like the hands, the feet, the body. It's just sort of dragged along after it. And it's interesting that the Balei Chayim, the animals, all have tails, whereas Kimad, all of them have tails, whereas mankind, man doesn't have a tail. It's almost, but the snake is all tail, right? It's the head is almost indiscernible from the tail. The snake is all tail, and the man is all untailed, right? Doesn't have a tail. That's what it means. The man is really supposed to be the rosh, and the Yetzer Hara, which is symbolized by the nafesh, or the nafesh symbolizes, that's the tail. That's the tail after the man. A tail is something that drags along afterwards. It's basically a servant, a shamash, someone that's like the pamalia that follows the Rebbe when the Rebbe goes, and you have all the cars following, and all, when the prime minister goes, when the president goes, you have everyone following. That's the tail. The head is the one that's going in front, and he's making the decisions. He's the one that's doing what has to be done. And the tail is coming to follow and to help him do that, to help him accomplish what he has to accomplish. That's what it means over here, that the man is supposed to be a head, and the snake is supposed to be a zonav, meaning the Yetzer Hara. Again, the symbolism here is very clear and gracious. The snake is the emissary of the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is supposed to be all zonav. When man sins, what happens? The snake was the one that was making the decision and was convincing man what to do. So here you had the nachash becoming the rosh, and the man was being slept along afterwards. Who was the zonav? And he's not going to overcome the nachash, the snake, until until hu yishuv charosh, that snake is going, as long as he's going to try to show that he's the head, he's the rosh, you're not going to get out of it. V'atot yishuvanim, okay. You have to show that he goes on bottom, he goes under the heel. The lowest part of the man is the heel. And that's what it says. He goes under the heel. You make him into a zonav again, into a tail. He should be under your heel. That is the secret behind Mordechai stepping on Haman. Maybe the minhag that we have, some people write the name Haman on shoes and they stamp on it. It's because Haman should be under the foot. It should be underfoot. It should be Va'ata Toshufenu Okev. We have to show he's the zonav. He's the tail. We're not going to let Haman and the snake, the Yetzer Hara, everything that Haman symbolizes and that goes together with him, we're not going to let that have an effect on our decisions. We're going to make the decisions, and he's going to be the tail. And in this light, we can see that it's clear from Maimei Chazal, from the words of Chazal, that this is exactly the way they're looking at the snake. It says in the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Tesam Abayz, that after Adam Arishon sinned, Chaval, what a pity, Al Shamash Gadol She'avad Min HaOlam, and this tremendous servant, this wonderful servant that was lost to the world. The snake was created as a wonderful servant for man, and if not for the fact that Adam Arishon had sinned, then every person would have a couple of good snakes that would follow him, and that he would send to the north, to the south, to bring diamonds, to bring precious stones, to bring dirt for the garden. So, which means that Chazal look at the snake as really as what we described as a zanav, as a tail. The purpose of the snake was in order to serve us. And because of the sin of Adam HaRishon, now we're serving Him. And this explains a number of other Maimei Chazal, and we find in a number of places that there's something called the Achnoi, a snake that puts itself in a circle and puts its tail inside of its mouth in order to close the circle. It's such a Gemara in Bava Kamma, it's spread to in other places, and it comes up often in Midrashim. The snake that puts itself in a circle, wraps itself around, what it's doing is, it's putting its zanav in its head. It wants to make the zanav into a head. That's the idea of putting the tail into the mouth. The Dvorim Rabbah, Medrash Rabban Dvorim, says something very interesting in this respect about a mushel of the snake. Something that the Rishonim talk about, the famous mushel of the snake. What's the mushel of the snake? This is the mushel. It says in the Pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu told the people that he's going to make for them shoftim, right? He's going to make sarim, you're going to have leaders, officers, the asimim barashechem. I'm going to put them as your heads. So the Midrash Darshan's asimim is miloshan ashma, with a shin. Ashimim barashechem. What it's saying is, if you end up being at fault, it's your own fault. What's that mean? I'm appointing people that know what to do and could give you good advice and could help you follow the Ratzon Hashem. And if you're not going to listen to them, then you're going to be the ones that are at fault. I did the best I could for you. Moshel, Lamar Dabra Daima, a snake with the tail of the snake says to the head of the snake, why do you always go first? I want to go first. So the head says, okay, go ahead. So, of course, the tail doesn't know the difference. It drags a snake into water, into fire, into thorns. Says the Medrash, Kach kishektanim nishmoam l'gdailim. When those that are smaller listen to the gedailim, then they get, Kodesh Baruch Hu does everything that they want. But when the elders follow the small people, noiflam al-lachar paneim, then the Klal Yisrael is going to fall on their faces. So here, the muscle of the snake is, what happens if you turn around and make the tail become the head, and the head become the tail? Basically, why did Chazal choose a snake? Because this is what they saw in the story of the Nachash in Gan Eden, that our nisayon is not making the tail into a head, and making sure the tail remains the tail. The Medrash is specifically talking about listening to the Gedolim. So now we could take a step deeper into understanding this idea of what it means to be a Rosh and to be a Zanav, and for the head to lead the tail, and for us to... So the first thing you see in the Medrash is, it says, you have elders, you have people that know what you're supposed to do and know how to teach you to serve Hashem. So listen to them. Don't tell them what to do. When it comes to the situation where the people are telling the elders what they should be doing, then is achen vei. Then everyone's going to fall on their faces, as the Medrash says. So that's what the Nachash symbolizes. And the truth is, the Nachash in Gan Eden, according to Chazal, had a taina that, why did Adam listen to me? Why should I be punished? Divrei Rav, the Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishaimim. I'm only the Talmud, I'm the small one, and I'm telling him not to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything about the world because he created it. Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishaimim. Gemara says that the Nachash really could have said such a thing, meaning the whole point of the Nachash, the brunt of his arguments is, listen to the small one. Don't listen to the big one. Of course, the Nachash did get punished anyhow. But what his argument was, listen to the small one. And that's interesting to see that we find this also by Haman, where Chazal say, "Vayomer Memuchan lefnei haMelech vaAsarim," that Memuchan is Haman, says the Gemara. And he spoke before the king, before the elders, before the more experienced officers. He spoke up first. And that's because he was following the way of the Nachash. That the Nachash is the one that's trying to turn the tail, meaning the ones that are supposed to be following the head, into the head. So there's Haman again, trying to turn the tail into the head, and Hedjer Kofet Barosh, listen to me, listen to the small ones. So that's the first lesson that we could be taking in idea of turning the tail into a tail. We have to remember to listen to the Gedolim, and that's actually what happened by Mordechai and Esther, where Mordechai sent that word to all of Klal Yisrael to fast, and they all listened to him, and they all fasted, and that was how they got saved. They all davened, they did tshuva, that was how they got saved. So the first thing that we see about how to keep the tail in its place is by making the head, giving the head the proper respect, and knowing that the tail doesn't know more than the head. To go a little more deeply into this, though, and here I think this is the main point of what we're supposed to be doing with the Yetzer Hara, what he's created for. We find that when Moshe Rabbeinu was giving a sign to Paro to show that Hashem sent him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to take his stick and throw it down, and it'll turn into a nachash. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, now echoz biznavo, hold its tail, and then it'll turn back into a stick. And Reb Chaim Vital, as I mentioned, understood that Paro over here was also being emissary of the Nachash Kadmoni. So this sign to Paro was obviously referring to that Paro, you think you're going to be a snake? No, we're going to turn you into a stick. How is that? Echoz biznavo. Echoz biznavo. What's echoz biznavo? Echoz biznavo means realize that he's just a tail. Don't be afraid of the snake. Don't let him tell you what to do. Don't start running away from him, meaning following his advice, listening to what he has to say. But no, echoz biznavo. When the Yetzer Hara comes, echoz biznavo, grab him by his tail, meaning treat him as a slave, treat him as your servant. Make him into someone that's going to service you. That's what it means, echoz biznavo. That was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Paro, that I am going to show that the Yetzer Hara and Paro in this case are all servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I saw someone bring that Hamateh is a bigamatria Zanav, right? Zanav. That's 59. Hamatez is Zanav. And that's, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Echoz biznavo, and then it's going to turn into, back to Hamateh. In other words, we can make the Zanav into the Mateh. Mateh is a stick that we use, that we handle in order to accomplish things. That means to make it a slave. Now, I want to understand this a little more. How suddenly this Yetzer Hara, who I've been pushing away all the time, trying to keep as far as I can from him, suddenly I'm supposed to grab him by the tail. This idea of stepping on him is more than just pushing him into the earth. It means making him a zanav, making him into a servant that's going to help us accomplish our mission in life. So Chazal say pretty openly that that's the purpose of the Yetzer Hara. It says, Chazal say, with the Yetzer Tov and with the Yetzer Ra, he's supposed to serve Hashem. On the one hand, it means that despite the Yetzer Hara, but it says, Bishnei Yitzrecha, the same way you serve Hashem with the Yetzer Tov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Yetzer Hara in order to serve Hashem, in order that we should serve Hashem. Now, how do we serve Hashem with the Yetzer Hara exactly? Well, think about it. There are times when it's not easy for us to serve Hashem. We have to sort of work up our emotions. What is the Yetzer Hara? What exactly is the Yetzer Hara? The Yetzer Hara we know is the Alma de Sheker. It says, Yetzer Hara is Kulo Sheker. Yetzer Hara is what we call imagination. He convinces people, this is what you need, that's what you have to do. This is Yetzer Hara is riling up emotions by using imagination, and if we are able to use them properly, we can use them for servicing Hashem. It says there's such a thing. Yeah?
When Yetzer Hara is absolutely separate entity, it does not just simply name what my body needs. My body needs something, or versus what my body should not do something. It is the Yetzer Hara. It is not separate entity. We just great. We so good. Some bad person come and spoil my life. I need to fight. Is it my body? My body.
That's right. That's right. He's in my body, but not the same way as the Yetzer Tov. Okay. That's right. The Yetzer Tov is the Seichel, is the part of us that knows, that thinks, analyzes, and makes decisions based on the proper analysis of the situation. That's us. It's not just in us. The Yetzer Hara is this imagination that's trying to take us and see the world differently, see ourselves differently, see our purpose in life differently, convince ourselves of things that if you'd really try to think about it deeply, then a person would see that there's nothing there. That's not right. It doesn't make sense. But why does a person suddenly get angry and throw things down and kick Hashem or Kalim the Hamas? So does it make any sense? You're angry, so you're going to break Kalim? No, that's the Yetzer Hara, right? So anyhow, Vayikba Libo Badakei Hashem says sometimes a person has to raise his heart, gavus, have gaiva in serving Hashem. There are times we have to use it. We have to have gaiva. When do we have to have gaiva? Oh, there are times, let's say, if I see that friends are going to do something, they're all getting together to do something that I think is not the right thing to do. Either it's a waste of time, or it's going to be damaging, or someone will be upset. I decide this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. Sometimes it's very hard for me to pull out. They say, come on, what's the matter with you? You're afraid, whatever. I have to have guy then say, look, I don't think that this is for me. I'm not going to do it. Sometimes a person has to give tochacha to other people if it's a situation where he sees he's able to influence other people, and he has to get up and go against the grain, against the stream, against the current. When everyone else is doing one thing, to stand up and go against the current is not easy. That's when you need Vayik Beliba Dach Hashem. We have to ask the Yisahar, excuse me, how do I do this? And a person has to be able to use the gaiva, the mita that he's used to from when the Yisahar taught it to him, in order to serve Hashem. The same thing happens when, with the taiva, right? Taiva, lust, is obviously something that the Yisahar uses very frequently in order to cause people to sin. But on the other hand, we find in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara talks about how the Anshe Knesset HaGdola asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu, enough of the Yetzer Hara, give us over the Yetzer Hara, let's put an end to it. And it says the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him the Yetzer Hara to Avodah Zarah, and that's why you don't have the same lust for serving Avodah Zarah as it was back in the old days. But it says that they saw that the things were going well. They asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu also for the Yetzer Hara of Arias. Enough with that Yetzer Hara. Let's put an end to that also. So it says that for as long as they held the Yetzer Hara in captive, it's all Meshalem, but what Chazal say is, as long as the Yetzer Hara was captive, nobody had, right? It says the chickens didn't even have eggs. Nobody had children, chickens didn't have eggs. Meaning that in order for the world to continue, we need to use this Yetzer Hara. There you have it. Chazal is saying this is a Yetzer Hara, but we need it. If we want the world to continue properly, we want it to be there in order to serve Hashem. There's a Zayar that I heard from Rav Volba, the Chassanuk of Bracha, that says that the Chedvasa Dishmaitza, the enjoyment of learning, the Geshmak of learning up a Sugya and Gemara, comes from the Yetzahara of Arayas. So there it is. We have to use the Yetzahara. We have to take that and use it in order to serve Hashem. Even with the Yetzahara of Kaas, we could also find that it's necessary to serve Hashem sometimes. I mean, that's what Mechiyas HaMalek is. Mechiyas HaMalek is, go out and fight, kill them. I heard from Rav Gutman, Zechut Tzadok Levracha, used to say that he killed Nazis via dying. Habor lehorgecha, ashkem v'argo. That he literally, with his bare hands, killed Nazis when he was running away from them in the forest. So, obviously, that's not something that comes naturally to a rabbi. But if you make good friends with the Yetzer Hara, there's a way to do it. So, you know, one of the svarim that speaks this out very beautifully and very clearly is the Michtam Eliyahu, Rav Eliyahu Eliezer Dessler, the Chassadal Gevracha, who speaks about this in Kuntras HaChesed. He is talking about ingraining within ourselves the will to give. We want to help, we want to give, not because it's going to bring us something in return, not because of any other reasons, just because we want to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Olam Chesed Yibana, created the whole world as Chesed without any need to receive anything in return. We want to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anyhow, he talks about this, at great length about the idea of giving and the idea of taking, and there are people that are givers and people that are takers. And now it gets down to the point, okay, I want to be a giver, but how do I do it? That's not the way I feel. How do I make myself a giver? So he says, and even though he's talking about this specific midah, but it applies to basically every midah that we want to teach ourselves. Says, V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'shnei yitzrecha, meaning a person has to use his yetzer hara in order to serve Hashem. He says, this is a beautiful etzah to acquire a midah taiva. He's talking about the midah of nesina, the midah of giving, the midah of wanting to give. If you think about it, he says, there are people that have a tremendous power with words, that they're able to describe things in such a way that you're able to actually see it in front of you. Says everybody has a little spark of that, a little bit of that inside of themselves. And that's the imagination that a person can use in order to feel things and see things that he himself doesn't normally feel. You want to give? Think about that poor fellow over there. Think about it. Think more about what it means to live the life of being penniless, not having enough food, not having a proper arrangement for living, etc., etc. Think about it. What's his life like? And if a person thinks about that, it could arouse inside of himself the sympathy, the empathy with the person that he wants to give to, and he could be sure that he's going to be more willing to give. The imagination. Yeah. The imagination. Right. It's the idea of thinking of something that's not you, and that you can't possibly actually know it from within on your own, but let's try to imagine what it would be like if I would be in that situation. That's what the Yetzer is always saying. Think what it would be like if you would have this and this. So we could use it the other way around. Think about what it would be like if you wouldn't have. Or to the contrary. To the contrary also. Think about what it would be like if someone would suddenly give you this tremendous gift, and it was something that you really wanted all your life. You wanted whether it's a book, whether it's something more significant, less significant. There's so many things that we need in life, and we really would appreciate a gift of some sort. A person has to pay the bill, and in the last minute someone comes and offers him, I'll give you a loan, no problem, free loan. Something like that. If a person thinks about for himself, how would I feel if someone would come and suddenly give me this grant, give me this gift? I'd feel tremendous. I feel such tremendous simcha. So now, does that mean if I do this to so-and-so, he's going to feel like that? Wow. I would love to have him feel like that. You know, and he'd feel like that to me. That would be tremendous. He'd feel that I'm the one that saved him from whatever it was or gave him what he needed. So if a person uses his imagination, he's able to train himself into midos tovos of any sort. That's where we could use the shnei yitzrecha. That's where the yetzer hara could be actually a good friend, and he could be the shamash gadol, which is the way that he was created. What's it mean, shamash gadol, to bring us all sorts of stones, beautiful stones and dirt? What's the shamash gadol? What's the snake bringing us, according to the Gemara in Sanhedrin? Stones, precious stones, dirt. This is dvarim chumriyim. We're talking about things that are very earthly, right? Not ethereal. Things that are very earthly. Meaning that's what the Yetzer Hara is there for. He's there in order to have a person become earthy when it's necessary. Sometimes I have to feel these more earthly feelings, these more mundane feelings, in order to be able to do the mitzvahs properly. And that's what I could use the Yetzer Hara for. That's where he could be b'shnei yitzrecha. So that's what Vayizanev B'chol Kol Hashem Acharecha is saying. Amalek is coming to give a makat zanav. The Rishonim and the Midrashim say, makat zanav. What he wants to say is, Vayizanev B'chol, it's not that he's taking the zanav, he's making the zanav. He's saying, he's trying to tell us, you're the zanav, you're only a zanav. That's how you should look at yourself. Oh, you think you're so great, you're only a zanav. That's Vayizanev. He's making you into a zanav. Vayizanev B'chol means he's trying to make you feel that you're only a tail, you're only a servant. He wants you to listen to him and not to be the Rosh. And what we have to do is, we have to put him down. We have to put him in his place, under the foot, put him back into the place of a tail, meaning the servant. So, to conclude, I mentioned some interesting things that we could now understand in this light. The Midrashim, Midrash Kabbalah, talk about Amalek as Amel. Amalek is Amel Kuf. Amel and Amal, which can mean working, Kuf. For Kuf, his working is for Kuf. Kuf, the letter Kuf. And the letter Kuf, the Midrashim say, the Midrashim relate to a Kuf, a monkey. Amel Kuf, everything he's doing, he's working as a monkey, meaning he's imitating. So, in the light of what we said, what it means is, he's imitating that he's really just a zanav. He's just really a tail. But he's trying to make himself into the head. He's trying to imitate him to make people think that he's the head. That's the kekof achar bnei adam. And in fact, the Midrashim also say that the letter hey, which represents kedusha, is two letters. It's a dalet and a vav. You have a dalet and the what we call the regel, the leg inside is like a vav. A kuf also has those two parts, but the leg is elongated, goes down below the line. So that's the semel, that's the symbol of the sitra achra. That's what it says. That's what's brought down in Midrashim. In Midrash Kabbalah, that the kuf, extending that hay, that's the symbol of the sitra achra. And the Arizal calls that long leg, he calls it zanav, Shal anachash. In fact, when discussing Purim, he calls it, that's the zanav shal anachash. Meaning, that the tumah, or the yetzahara, that's coming to impersonate the yetzer tov, and to look like kedusha. It's the tail that, like we said, is trying to impersonate, trying to look like the head, but it's not. It's really just the tail. Interestingly, Chazal say that the reason a hay has a hole on bottom is because the world was created with a hay, and the world's created with a hay, and leaves a place for people to fall out on bottom. It has an opening on top between the vav and the roof of the hay, so that if a person wants to do tshuva, he could come back up and come up from a higher place than he started. Because if he tried to go up from the bottom, it would be much too hard, much too difficult. People can't swim against the stream. But he could come around from the top and jump in from the top. Now the kuf is the same thing, but it's blocking people from doing tshuva. It's blocking the one that falls down from coming around to the top. That's the kashas atumah. It's trying to say, give up, forget about it. You know, you'll never make it there. That's the kuf of the znav anachash. And the Bnei Yisasa brings from the Sefer Yetzirah that the letter that marks the month of Adar is the letter kuf. It's the letter kuf. Right? So over here we see that it's very appropriate, the letter Kuf, because that's the letter of the Zanav HaNachash, which is what the story of Purim is all about. Who's going to be in the head? Will the Yetzer Hara, or will Haman and Amalek and the Nachash be on top, or will we be on top? If you take the two letters, the Hey and the Dalet and the Vav, that make up the letter Hey, right? There's a Dalet and a Vav is the leg. So that's 10. That's because the world was created with 10 mamaros. It's the 10. That's the letter the world was created with. It's all the kedusha. But the kuf would be a dalet and a nun, because that long leg would be like a nun. So that would be 54. So there's 54 times where the name Haman is mentioned in Megillas Esther, and that's the 54 times that we clap Haman. Each according to their minhag, of course, and some of the kreset, they don't let you do it all 54 times, but in any case, that's where Haman is going to be taken over. Now, we find the Arizal says that long 50 amah tall tree that Zeresh advised Haman to hang Mordechai on, that was the tail of the serpent, that was the Znav HaNachash. That's the same Znav HaNachash. This same one from the Kuf, from the Zanav, that was where she wanted to hang Mordechai. And oy chas v'shalom, if that would have happened, it would have been terrible for Klal Yisrael. They wouldn't have had a way out. What's going on over here? Who's going to be on the Zanav? Who's the Zanav and who's the Rosh? Haman Zeresh was saying, make him into the Zanav. Show him that he's the Zanav. He's the one that belongs on that Zanav HaNachash. He's the one that belongs to be hanged. He's the one that let everyone become depressed and see that there's no chance. That's what Zeresh was saying. But in the end, what happened was that Mordechai was able to succeed in hanging Haman, and that's Zanav HaNachash. Oh, that's it. So it says actually in the Tosfos that all the sons of Haman and Haman, when they're hung on that tree, says they're hung without a head. And we say that in the piyut that we say on Tainus Esther, Ish Ish B'Shalosh Amos V'Arvius Aver Megula. They only had three Amos. There's Tosfos. Three Amos doesn't include the head. It's just because they were killed before and they hung them without the heads. They're making them into teals. That's exactly what they're doing by hanging them without the heads. And that's what it means when Haman came home after his escapade with Mordechai walking through the streets. He came home, Avel, the Chafui Rosh. That's it. He knew that he's not going to be a Rosh anymore. And that's our job. That's what we have to take, basically, from the story of Purim. This Venahafochu, in order to realize, we're the ones that are the Rosh. Yes, there is a Yitzhara, and yes, he's very powerful, but he could be our friend. We have to know how to use him. We have to use him for the purposes of Avodas Hashem, and through that, Avodas Hashem will be zeicha to see the Gula Shleima and Yeshua's Nechamas.